This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, who brought light from darkness, help us to see your light so well that it not only illumines our path, but reflects from us to illumine others. We pray this in the name of the one who is the light of the world. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In this year A of the cycle of readings, we have these beautiful but long stories that are given to us. And for the sake of interest, we have divided them up as best we can as we've been reading them. But I feel like at the end of Lent, we're going to have the Academy Awards here at the church for all of the cast of characters. I want to talk to you today about lust. Now that I've got your attention, I am not talking anything to do with sexuality, although that is that part of lust that does exist. But it is the broader notion of lust that Dallas Willard refers to in The Divine Conspiracy this week. Lust of the eyes, that he defines as the desire to appear well at the expense of others. The idea that we can reduce another human being to an object. And it goes far beyond anything to do with sexuality. It has a lot to do with the gospel that we just read together. It has a lot to do with being blind. The blind spots that all of us have. This past week, some of the staff, we were driving back from an outing, and I was making that right turn off of Woolbright to come on to Seacrest to come back to the church. And luckily, Charles was sitting in the back seat. And I had a blind spot in my car, and I could not see the bicyclist who was going along the side next to us that was going to cross over Seacrest, and had I made the right turn, we'd have had a disaster on our hands. Luckily, Charles saw him and called my attention to it, and nothing happened, other than a few choice words from the bicyclist. Blind spots. We have them. We're human. We cannot deny the fact that they exist. The point for us with this gospel and dealing with what is going on today and this week in the Divine Conspiracy has to do with the importance for us of acknowledging them and also to understand that we all have them and that all we can do is, as God brings us to a new realization in life, we answer that call and move forward with our understanding. You know, we try to put God in human terms, as Dallas would say, because that's all we can do. So we try to think of God and the incredible job that God has to do in terms of what a human being would be like if they had that job. And we end up limiting God quite a bit. And God is always more than we can imagine. It comes out in the first reading that we heard today from Samuel. They had their own notions as to what a king was supposed to look like. And so the one who had the nicest appearance was big and strong and a big guy. Surely that's the one that God's going to call. Nope. They call the next brother. Nope. They go all the way down the list and they come to the youngest, the scrawniest, David. And that's the one God chose. It caused them to look bigger. It caused them, as we've been looking at Wednesday night, to think outside of the box a little bit. And David becomes the greatest king in their history. We have these blind spots that have existed forever. At communion time today, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And both William and I have referred to the story along the way of that hymn that John Newton wrote, who was involved largely in the slave trade. You talk about treating people as objects. Well, he had a conversion experience when there was a storm on a ship he was on, and he realized the error of his ways and had a conversion. I was blind, but now I see. How often this happens in our own lives? It happens in the gospel today. Here is a man blind from birth. They had this notion that unfortunately continues to creep into our lives even today, that when things go wrong or if there is something physically wrong with us, that it has to do with some sin we committed, something we did wrong. This is what they believe about this man. And if it wasn't him, then it had to be his parents. And Jesus is trying to remove the blind spots, not only literally from this man, but more greater than that, from their own hearts, to understand that God's bigger than that. This man's sin had nothing to do with his blindness. It just happened. And so he goes on, and we have these blind spots in these Pharisees. These Pharisees who thought they had it all right. They had it all together. They had all the answers. And so for them, they want to have the lust of the eyes, looking down at everybody else, because we have it all together and you don't. And so when something like this happens to a man born blind, they don't know what to do with it. They can't handle it. And so it is Jesus who is calling forth within them to open up their vision a bit to what this surprising and incredible God wants to have in store for them, as God does for each one of us. It becomes very important for us to acknowledge the blind spots, but have the willingness, when God puts it there for us, to move beyond it. We have to be aware of the areas where we fall short, because we all do. And Dallas makes the point in The Divine Conspiracy this week about, you know, God doesn't bring it all to our awareness at once, because we couldn't handle it all at once. It is step by step, and we grow, and we move on, and we move on. He uses that example in his own life of the fact that if he had realized how seriously he had hurt other people at the time when it happened, he probably would have been so paralyzed that he couldn't move forward. But God gives us this gradual realization and helps us to remove those blind spots so that we can go forward on our spiritual journey together. He says God works on an information will be given on a need-to-know basis only. I like that. God doesn't tell us everything at once. There is a journey we are on. It becomes a process for us of becoming good. God created the world and it was good, and we continue that process as we go forward to get there. Brings me to an important point that we always talk about sometime during Lent, and that is the fact that because we are human and because we all do have blind spots, we sometimes do fail. We sometimes disappoint each other. We sometimes fall short. And whether intentionally or unintentionally, we hurt each other. It's a given. But as a Christian community, the thing that defines us is the fact that doesn't mean that that's the end of our relationship. You remember the purple cards. Every single person, whoever gets a welcome bag in this church, gets these with a description as to what it means. If you've lost yours, there's a stack of them over by the name badge holder. You can pick up a new one today. But the idea of this is that we are all ministers of reconciliation. We realize that we are going to mess up once in a while. But as a Christian community, we literally or metaphorically take one of these cards and give it to that person with the side up that says, "Please forgive me." And in an ideal Christian community, that person flips that card over and hands it right back and it says, I forgive you. Now, ideally, in our Christian walk together, we would only need one of these cards because every time we'd be getting it back. Well, in my situation, I've got to give out so many at once to please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me, that there's sort of a circular file I've got going. But the point that we need to understand is this is what defines us as a Christian community. That people will look at us and say, look at that. There was reconciliation there. And they decided they would try again. Because we realize that none of us have it all together. None of us have it perfect. And so whether it is a friendship, a marriage, a business relationship, whatever the relationship we have within this community of the church, we are able to try again. That's all God asks of us. That's what God expects of us. Because when people see us living like that, they will say, as it says in the scripture, see how these Christians love one another. If we don't do that, perhaps we need to take Christian out of our title. Because that's what makes us different. That is what God enables to happen. When we continue to move towards removing those blind spots and move forward in the kingdom. I was blessed to take a course from Dallas Willard for 2 weeks, and wedged in between the 2 weeks was a silent retreat that we went on. And at the time, I was dealing with some things inside of me that I really wanted to get resolved. I really wanted answers. Well, Dallas had a sign-up sheet set up, and you could go and have an appointment with the Dallas Willard. It's like, oh boy, I'm going to go, and he's going to tell me how to handle this, and I'm going to get all the answers that I want. I was looking so forward to going to Dallas, and he was going to tell me exactly what I needed to do. So I went, and he listened, and he listened. And if you're watching those videotapes, that's like he is in real person. He just sits back in that chair like a grandfather and shakes his head. He listened to me go on for a while, and then I waited for his response. He gave me two words. Trust Jesus. And I was at, okay, go on. Go on. Trust Jesus. That was it. That's all he had to tell me. And you know what? That's all I needed to do. If we believe that this God is one who's going to continue to be there, this surprising God that's going to help us to think outside of the box and bring us along ways that we would have never asked or imagined, if I just trust him, the answer will come. Trust Jesus. If we do that, blind spots will be removed, and we will continue to be that people of reconciliation. People will look at us and say, see how these Christians love one another. May it be so for us.